if you are going into it, you've got to have those real hard conversations first. There was an opportunity for mum and I to buy a house together that she wanted to live in. And so we did that, which was amazing. If you can live with someone as successfully in lockdown, you can pretty much live with them, right? Even things like if you've got different tastes, like that's massive. Like if one of you's like loves, I don't know, wants a real like jazzy splashback in your kitchen and the other one's like absolutely over my dead body, that is actually still really big stuff.
I'm Frances Cook. Welcome to Making Sense, supported by KiwiBank. Buying a house is far from easy because, let's be honest, they're expensive. Building up a deposit, getting approval from the bank, then keeping paying it off. It's all a bit of a mountain to climb. Not to mention if something goes wrong with the house, you're now in charge and have to figure out repairs, maintenance, and all the other very adult stuff. Well, some people are teaming up to make these problems less scary. Rather than buying with a romantic partner, you could buy in with family or friends. Big commitment there, but for some, the only way to get into property. So what can go right and wrong with this? And how do you do it smartly?
Welcome, Brody Kane, broadcaster extraordinaire and host of the new TV show On the Ladder with KiwiBank. You are back on TV. Did you miss it?
Well, do you know what? Actually, I feel like I'm having this nice little TV project every now and then. So 2024? Yeah, On the Ladder's been the TV project there. Then I had, what was the last thing? Oh, I did Traitors the year before.
Yeah, I was going to say Traitors looked real fun.
Yeah, so I did that. And then the year before that, I had the Rugby World Cup, the Women's Rugby World Cup, and Dancing with the Stars. So I feel like I'm having like nice little yearly or biannual projects that are keeping me, you know, just in there a little bit so people don't forget who I am.
Yeah. Well, the latest one, obviously for you coming on here, you're talking about the money world. You're specifically getting into property, which is new, right? What attracted you to doing this show? And tell me a bit about it.
So the amazing thing about when I got the job to work on the Ladder was that the format of the show is something that's so close to what I have done. So On the Ladder with KiwiBank basically is a wonderful 8-part season where we follow various Kiwis who are looking for more, I guess, less than traditional ways to get their first home, to get on the property ladder, which we know is really, really tough, particularly for first home buyers. And particularly if you aren't in like a traditional societal setting of husband and wife, or, you know, you're a couple essentially pooling together two salaries, two incomes, that type of thing. So these people have all gone, well, I can't do it on my own. And to have these amazing stories of whether it's a friend or a partner or a mum or a bunch of pals or siblings. And I have done that. So I bought a house, it's actually the second time I've done it, but both times very successfully with my mum. So we have gone on a property buying journey together twice, and I couldn't do it without her and she couldn't do it without me. And so it actually feels like a really meaningful way, and it means that you are sort of, you've got your skin in the game. And it does give you that added security in a world where, gosh, it seems very important to us to be on the ladder, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, exactly. It's huge for financial security. I mean, there's all of the money elements, but there's also all the lifestyle elements. Literally, even just the option to have a pet and redecorate and not get kicked out because your landlord's plans have changed. I mean, there's so many life aspects as well as the financial aspects, which make it pretty important. I mean, for you to do co-ownership twice, it must have worked out okay. Because I do sometimes wonder, right, what happens if it goes pear-shaped? So you did it the first time around, and then you had co-ownership the second time around. Walk me through those two situations and how it went for you. And did you change anything the second time around? Any lessons learned?
One of the big things I learned about doing it, so I'm sort of giving you the end of it at the start, but is that I feel like with home ownership, yes, it's it's quite terrifying and intimidating. And it is a massive investment, like one of all of our biggest that we'll do in our lives. But I feel like we kind of are so scared of it to a point where we think it's a life sentence, right? So you think, oh my God, I'm going to buy a house and I'm going to be stuck in this forever. And if my life circumstances change, I'm screwed. I mean, look, and I'm not saying that that doesn't happen from time to time for people when things happen beyond your control. But ultimately, right, you could go into this thing with, like in my case, with my mum, and absolutely, like, chances are one of our circumstances are going to change. So one of the big things that we got some really cool advice from early on is a property sharing agreement. And even though it's your mum, you have to have a legal document to protect both of you. And so you shouldn't look at that as something, it's like, you know, no different to a will, right? It's something that protects both of you should something happen to either of you and your circumstances change, which is life, right? So the massive thing that we did both times was that property sharing agreement where we sat down with a lawyer and hashed out all the different things that could happen. And all of that went into a property sharing agreement. And obviously the other real key thing is making sure your will is locked down with those things. So they have always been at the forefront. And I think that actually, if you are going into it, you've got to have those real hard conversations first with someone that you're doing it with. And so because we had that advice early on, we were quite good at that first time round. And the first time round, actually, my mum and dad had split, which is, you know, quite late in life, but there was an opportunity for mum and I to buy a house together that she wanted to live in. And so we did that, which was amazing. I then moved back down to Christchurch and I'd bought a second property, which again, we'll probably get into that, but, you know, was able to use the equity of our Waikuku Beach house to get the second house. And then my circumstances changed dramatically when I lost my job just before COVID. And I went and did lockdown with mum. And then because I was setting up my own business, which was a slow burn, but not a slow burn, but I basically couldn't afford $700,000 worth of mortgage on my own as a self-employed girly. So I put tenants in the house that I owned in Christchurch and moved back home with mum. And so that was like, if you can live with someone as successfully in lockdown, you can pretty much live with them, right? So we lived together I feel like it was 2021, almost all of 2020, 2021. And then I moved back up to Auckland in February 2022. So we lived in a two-bedroom house together and it went really well. So that was sort of the success of round one, right? And then round two being she got to the point where she went, well, I'm living down here. Both my kids don't live here. I feel like a bit of a change. And I was like, well, why don't you come up here? And she was like, I actually could. And I'd sort of got to the stage where I was living in Auckland and I was flatting and I really had just like, I'd got to the point where I thought, I don't want a flat anymore. And I possibly could have sold Christchurch and afforded myself a shoebox of an apartment in Auckland for a, you know, exchange for a beautiful bloody house in Christchurch for a shoebox in Auckland, but that's how it works. But then she was like, I could bloody move up there. And I was like, well, should we think about it? And long story, well, no, it was a long story, not short. Long story long, we sold up. So I sold up Christchurch. We sold up Waikuku. And we bought a house in January of 2024 and both live in Auckland harmoniously. And it works so well.
I just love this for you. It's funny, isn't it? Because I think we often look at the house buying experience. You know, you mentioned the romantic partnership, which is the typical way for people to do it. And it does help having two incomes. And we see it as totally normal for romantic partners to buy a house together. And then we kind of go, ooh, are you sure about buying with your mum? Or, ooh, are you sure about buying with a friend? And yet, not to mention any names, because, you know, love all my friends dearly, but there have been people in my circle who have got together, got married, got divorced all very, very, very quickly. You know, it happens. And so the idea of going in eyes open to a co-ownership agreement with someone where you're saying, hey, from the beginning, life could change, let's have these tough conversations. Let's sit down with a lawyer and just get everything sorted from the get-go. I think as long as you're doing all of that, it might actually be even a better situation than some.
Well, yeah, and as I say, like, it's kind of quite a cool thing to do, eh? Like, it's like you're embarking on this massive life project with someone. And as you say, like, there are a lot of marriages that do sort of go tits up for whatever reason. But, and look, so do friendships, and I guess so do family relationships as well. But I feel like, yeah, there's this, I don't know whether, and what was cool about the show as well is that you're seeing all these people going through what is like a really big process, and it actually like enhances your bond as well, and your connection, because you're helping each other out, and it's a really kind of special feeling. And so I think that, again, you shouldn't look at it as like, you know, if you think, oh, I'm going to go, like, yeah, I've got a mate that I know that this could work with. And it's sort of going into it going, oh, we're not stuck like this forever, because you don't have to be. You can almost look at it as, hey, you could even look at it as in, hey, let's do it. Let's buy if we can buy now. And geez, in 5 or 10 years, we might sell up and we might have enough capital gains separately to go on our own, you know, because the reality is, it, like, unless you are earning truckloads, how are you to do it on your own, you know? And now we know that it's not even just the challenge of coming up with a deposit. It's servicing the mortgage that's a massive, like, it's pretty much almost impossible to service a mortgage on your own. So to be able to, like, jump in and dive in with someone is absolute game changer and a real winner.
Yeah. And tell me more about the people that you met as part of this show, because I think that's the other interesting thing is no two money situations are alike. And by getting to look at all of these different case studies, right, you see the different ways that people find to get through quite normal life roadblocks. So what was someone who stands out to you? Is there anyone that you still sort of think about and think, man, that was a really smart tactic the way they did that?
The great thing was filming this is that there was such a wide variety of people in terms of their circumstances. So we had the first episode was Beth and Ruben, who were married, and Beth's like one of her longtime childhood best mates, bridesmaid at the wedding. And so they're like late 27, like late 20s, but you know, young people.
They're not using eye cream as much as us yet.
No, but they should, because that's what we should, or if we'd only known when we were younger to use sunscreen and eye cream, you know. But yeah, so they, you know, they are three young people that just decided that actually by doing it together, they've bought this great house in Ōtautahi, Christchurch. And what that means for them is they've got this beautiful house. They can stay there, but also probably, the learning and the inspiration from them was that they were like real good savers. Like Grace was on her own, and through her 20s, she saved like, man, I'm pretty sure it was like 140 grand, which I look at and go, well,
whoa, that's impressive.
Oh man, honestly. And she still lived her life too, which was, I was like, oh, gosh, if I was 27, I certainly hadn't saved that much money. And so you've got that end where you go, wow, okay, they have saved a lot and that is incredible. And then you've got, there's some fascinating ones, because then you've got Paula and Gordon, who are in a relationship, right? And this one baffled a lot of people. I was here for it. So Paula and Gordon are blissfully in love, a really wonderful couple that we met from Wellington. Now, Gordon actually helped Paula get on the ladder with helping her with her deposit, but she was going to own the house. And so he wanted to help her because they don't want to live together. Now, again, societal norms had people scratching their heads thinking, well, that's weird. I was here for it because they have reached stages in their lives where they love their independence, but they love each other just the same. And so she ended up buying a house, but it's down the road from them. That's a dream result, in my opinion.
Perfect.
Right? Yeah, so and people went, wow, that's amazing that they did that. But for them, that's sort of a really awesome thing for them to do with their relationship, is that they've got this connection, He's helped her with the deposit. And now she lives in this beautiful house just down the road from him. So you've got that. You've got three young guys that are 22 and 23, three mates from school and uni that are like, right, how should we get ahead of the game and secure a bit of our future? And so they all were looking for a house together. And you're like, geez, I remember myself at 22, wasn't even thinking about that. But, you know, so you've got these different stories, two couples, two beautiful Korean couples who forged a bond when they moved from Korea to New Zealand and had no family here, became family. So they're looking for a house together. So there's just like, and Kevin and JC, who are from the Philippines, who live here in New Zealand, are working in our health system, buying a house together as well. So it's just like, you couldn't have a more epic range of wonderful Kiwis looking for houses. And look, they're not all in Auckland. You've got Christchurch, you've got Wellington, oh, you've got Sam and Ash that live in Otorohanga, and then you've got Taropu and Katene up in Whangarei. So, but then you, the funny, you know what I always find funny though, is you watch, if you ever watch the episodes that are not in Auckland, and then we come back to Auckland, and what you get in Auckland compared to what you get everywhere else, it's like, oh boy, you know?
Yeah, night and day there.
Like, yeah. It's a bit depressing, eh? It's a bit bloody depressing, but it's cool. It's cool. So there's some wonderful people on the show.
How much do they dive into the money and legal side of what these guys had to do? Because let's be honest, we're all a bit nosy on that front. And I often tell people if they're thinking about co-ownership with a friend, it should be someone who you are comfortable enough to literally lay out your bank account and say, this is where I'm at. And you can have a conversation that is that upfront and that personal, because at some point you're going to be having those really nitty gritty money conversations as part of owning a house together. You've got to be able to do it. So how much do they dive into all that legal and financial side on camera?
All of it. All of the money guts is out there. I know. I know. It was like, I think that's really a cool part of the show, because of course everyone's like, what's this house worth, or how much have they got as a deposit? You will see in each episode all of that. So you find out how much they've got for a deposit. You find out their budget. You find out, you know, they work with a KiwiBank mobile mortgage manager who goes through all the nuts and bolts of all of the things that they can and can't do. And so, yeah, then you find out when there's success stories, you find out how much they bought the house for, what their mortgage repayments are, who, you know, who paid what in the deposit. Because in some of the circumstances, someone might have paid less in the deposit, but they're paying equal in the mortgage. And then some of them have got different things in their property agreements about what that would look like if they sold up. So there are some different circumstances. But for instance, Beth, Reuben and Grace, Beth and Reuben, half the deposit, Grace half. So the house is like 50-50 in that realm. But yeah, there's some different dynamics, but you find it all out. Like, it's all there. And that's what I love, because I love to geek out on that as well. So you find out every little bit.
I know. I just love having a sticky beak in other people's situations.
Same.
So interesting. Was there anything while you were doing the show, was there any situation where you met some people who were coming on and they've got this great plan? Was there ever a time when, as they were laying out their plans, that you got a bit nervous for them and thought, I don't know if that's going to work?
No, not necessarily any. Like, I was so excited, but I feel like, because I've done it myself, I felt so excited for all of them. And I almost felt like I had skin in the game. Like I felt like auntie to everyone, was like, you know, giving them all this advice. I think what I came away from telling all of them, and even when we had the wonderful clinical psychologist, Jackie Maguire, who was in one part of the show, which is sort of a quiz to sort of see the dynamics of the personalities and stuff like that and how well they are aligned, is one of the massive things that I kind of kept saying to them. And Jackie also drilled down, and she said it in far more eloquent ways and like with special words and stuff than I did, but was like, communication. At every juncture, you have to communicate. And just because you think something and the other person doesn't mean that one of you is right or wrong. And so they all went away, particularly with when they spent time with Jackie, with some tools in terms of what happens if, say, you know, even things like if you've got different tastes, like that's massive. Like if one of you's like loves, I don't know, wants a real like jazzy splashback in your kitchen and the other one's like absolutely over my dead body, that is actually still really big stuff, right? Because you can't expect with friendships or whatever the different dynamic is that you're going to like the same stuff. You know, that's the same with mum and I. You know, we're from very different generations, right? And so sometimes there's some things that she's interested in or thinks looks great. And, you know, I'm a millennial. We are...
Is she wanting the boomer clutter and you're wanting millennial grey?
I was just going to say that. So I was talking about it with a mate the other day and we were like, I feel like millennials are so traumatized by the jazzy curtains 100%. And the blue carpet and the feature wall that we're like, oh, for the love of God, just make it black, white, beige and grey. Please, please, please. You know, like.
That's 100% where it's come from. That's 100%.
I know. We're like, oh, don't put a matching throw with a matching pink curtain. Like, no throw with the matching candles, with the matching bloody ornament. Like, no. Just a clean line of black and white. Thank you.
And absolutely no dust collecting ornaments ever. Thank you. No.
Oh, no. Well, see, this is funny. And so me and my good friends always joke about mum's got all these like, and she calls them these, and they are these, and this is not, they're little fat ladies, like little fat lady ornaments. She loves like little, you can buy them from, actually, I don't know where you, actually she gets some of them from Bali. Just she loves little fat lady ornaments. And I remember thinking when we moved in, I was like, I wonder where she thinks maybe the fat lady ornaments are going. And she said to me, look, I know they can't go like in any sort of like pride of, you know, place in the house. So they're just, some of them are up above a couple of cupboards out in the storage, and then the others are outside like sunbathing. So I was like,
I love that she's aware. She's like, I know I should be ashamed of these. I do love them, but I'm aware that I should be ashamed.
Yeah. So you've got, yeah, so going back, that's the kind of stuff that I think that people will have to be really aware of, is that you live differently and, you know, some people are tidier than others and some people are not. So the key always being that I keep drilling into all of them is like, oof, you've got to nip these stuff in the bud, but you've got to be open to realizing that, you know, you're this way and they might be that way. And that doesn't mean that they're wrong and you're right. You just got to kind of try and meet in the middle. So that's the kind of stuff that I think that will be more challenging, actually. Because, I mean, this will sound ridiculous, but don't you think that buying a house is so terrifying and it's so overwhelming with all of the moving parts? Once you've signed on the dotted line, and not that paying a mortgage is fun, but once all that's done, you're actually like, oh, you know, I feel like it can be less of a ball ache than renting sometimes. Because when you're renting, you're like, oh, I've got to get hold of the property manager because there's a leak and there's a this and there's a that. Oh, I need that done. Whereas it's yours, you're like, right, you're onto it, you know? So it is actually the teething, the kind of, I guess, the smaller things that become the challenge with home ownership after you've signed on the dotted line. That was a very long answer, wasn't it?
No, I'm liking it. I'm liking your long stories long. They're good. It's funny when you're saying about, you know, just even the things like how to have the house set up and how to have it decorated so you both feel at home. It is funny. It is those little things, I think, that often break things. For my husband and I tend to run the inside of the house. The inside of the house is mine. And he has veto power if he really hates something, but you can't overuse the veto. Meanwhile, he's all about the garden and I have veto power. I would say that I don't overuse the veto. It's just that he has many terrible ideas. You know, we have our domains and that has worked. But also, we've been together like 20 years. We got together when we were teenagers, which is terrifying. And it has taken us a long time to get to a place of being mostly simpatico. There is also, there's still plenty of times when we can have disagreements. And so thinking about, you know, if I was thinking about buying with a friend, A, I'd be looking for someone who I didn't think was an idiot.
Yep.
But B, someone who you can get along with. You know, I look back at some of my flatting situations in my 20s and the arguments over the dumbest stuff. So you'd really want to. I do feel like those non-money issues can also be just as important. I mean, when it was, when you're part of some of these conversations where you've got this psychologist who's involved, amazing. You've also got people like the mortgage advisors who are involved. Was there anything that you learned while you were doing this show that was unexpected or just like an interesting tidbit that you tell your friends about?
I kind of, to be honest, think it's more so when I was listening to Jackie talk about those differences. That's probably was my takeaway, as I sort of went, actually, the key to it being is that bit where, she was genius. She is a genius. Red brain, green brain was one that I took home. And that was like, if you've got your red brain, so if you're angry and elevated and emotional or whatever, and someone's got the green brain, you're not going to be able to tackle things because the red brain is a bit irrational, is like not in the right headspace. You need two green brains to discuss any of the things that are going on. So if you're the angry one, being the angry person is not the time to be taking up issues in terms of the house. And also again, the other bit being, just because I like things a certain way or live a certain way, that doesn't mean that it's my way, you know, that you have to find middle ground. Yeah, I would say that I'm like super, super tidy, super organized. And mum also is very organized, but she lives in the house probably a bit more. Do you know what I mean? A sort of weird thing to say. Like, I'm someone that I would love nothing to be on the bench, nothing to be on the table, nothing. I'm that. But I also, I'm like, that doesn't mean that that's the way, you know. Whereas mum lives in the house. She's like, puts things there and there and there. And I go, well, actually, who's right and who's wrong? Neither of us. You know, I'm probably more the psychopath, like, because you should live in your house. I love things away. I hate things on the bench. But, you know, so when I was listening to Jackie, it's like, actually, if you're going to make this work, you have to go into that middle piece. And if there is something that is annoying you, it is. It's finding, not, but having your green brain, not your red brain when you tackle it.
Yeah, I love that. I think I'm going to take that away as a little bit of, I'm terrible. I'm like, there's a meme that I see come up all the time where it says, never go to bed angry, stay up and fight. And I'm that person. If I've got my claws into an issue, I don't want to stop. But yeah, I got to stop and get back to green brain mode.
Yeah, I know. I don't do it often enough, but I'm the same. Like, I'm like, oh, I've got to be in my bonnet about this now. But it's like, actually, you can sleep on things,
yeah.
You know, and possibly should more, you know. So yeah, I'm always trying to like activate my green brain before I fire up, you know.
Love it. When you look at things now, obviously you've bought with your mum, and I hope that continues amazingly. It sounds like a great situation. Would you ever buy with a friend? If things changed in the future, would you ever buy with a friend? And how different do you think that would be from buying with family?
I'd do it 100%. And actually, you might think this is ridiculous. No, you won't think this is ridiculous. But I have a dream that, and it's not even a dream, because I actually think it potentially could be a very real thing that happens in my lifetime in the next maybe 5 to 10 years. So we've got this wonderful group of friends. Not all of them are single, but at the moment a good chunk of us are. And what we'd like to do is essentially have kind of like, I guess, a commune. Well, we all call it
I'm into this already.
So kind of like Melrose Place, basically, wherever it is. There'll be a lot of detail that needs to be fleshed out, but we would either build, maybe not. We've drawn up some plans and they're on paper towels after a couple of margaritas, but which is where all good plans happen. But basically what we...
Yeah, this is the best of plans.
And so we live in like a shared apartment block where, so you've got your own apartment, but you're all in the same block.
Oh, I'm into that.
That is what I would like to do. So we all joked that it would be if we were all sort of, we're all kind of various ages too, though. But I think it's probably looking like something that we might do. Like, I'm 38. I don't want to wait that long. Like, I'm like, oh, because I think we kind of said around 50, but I'm like, oh, I'd be ready for that about when I'm 45, you know?
I was just thinking 45 would be perfect, you know, have your little barbecues and things, like have a little rooftop garden. Like,
yes,
this
yes.
could be great.
And if we were to build it, we'd have you could have a little gym and your little shared gym, shared laundry, but your own place and your own space. Essentially, not too dissimilar to a retirement village, but we haven't retired. And so I make this joke all the time. I'm like, Ryman, or bloody whoever else, this is an untapped market. I think there's something in this for the under 65s, you know? So that's our plan.
Like, not to bring like some academic stuff into it, but there is actually research that some of the happiest times in people's lives are at university, where they are living in these shared situations where you're right next to your friends, but you have your own room. And then again, in those retirement village style moments, if you still have your health, but you are living close to people in a similar stage of life, those are two peaks of happiness. There's genuinely research that shows this. Why can't the rest of us get in on this? A nice little sort of walkable zone where we can go and bump into our friends. It sounds great.
Well, I mean, you hear about the people that are in retirement villages. They've got like bingo night. They are like out and about every bloody night of the week. And when I say out and about, still within the confines of, you know, so it's great because you can go home. You know, you're not out and about. You're in with the confines of your commune.
You can just stagger next door and go to sleep after you've had one too many ports.
Exactly. So I just, I shouldn't probably joke about it because it's probably not a dumb business idea either, but maybe we start ours and then we market it out, you know, because I think it's genius. And it's never been a joke, but it's always been like, but now that we're getting older, like the time to do it is getting a bit closer and I'm ready.
Well, I tell you what, we'll get you back on the podcast when you're realizing your property development dreams. Shall we do that?
Yes, yes. And I'll be down and I'll be somewhere and I would have clocked it and I'll be a multimillionaire, but I'll give most of my money back as long as I'm just in my beachfront commune with my best mates.
I love this so much. All right. If people are interested in seeing more of these people who've done this amazing co-ownership journey, and also if they want to follow you online, tell us where to find the show. Tell us where to find you.
Okay. So On the Ladder with Kiwi Bank is on, I was going to say TV3. It's actually 3 now, isn't it? It's not, well,
there we go.
It still is television, but it's on every Sunday night at 7 p.m. But of course, you can watch it on demand on 3 now. Great show. We've had 3 episodes. Oh, I'm not sure when this is going out, but there's 8 episodes that you'll be able to watch. All amazing stories. You can find me at Brody Jean Kane on Instagram. And my podcasts are The Girls Uninterrupted and Kiwi Yarns, available wherever you get your good podcasts. And that's probably all of the places you need to find me, I'd say.
Fantastic. I love it. And honestly, I just love getting to have a little sticky beak at people's situations, but also to look at different people taking a different approach to getting into housing, because it's bloody hard. So it must have been a really fun show to do. I'm so glad you did it. And thank you for coming on to talk about it.
Oh, always a pleasure to talk to you. I love your mahi and keep up all the brilliant work and making us all smarter about money and stuff. I appreciate it.
Well, if some people manage to get onto the housing ladder, thanks to you and of course Kiwi Bank, then yay. Now, for anyone listening who has more questions about this, anything else to do with money, you can send them to me on my social medias at FrancisCookNZ, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok. You can find me everywhere. Also, lots more money chat on there for you. Don't forget to subscribe to Making Sense so that you never miss a trick with your money. And until next time, have a great day. Just a note before you go. This podcast can only give you general information about how things work in most cases. It's not individual financial advice. We're all different, so some of this might not apply to your specific situation. Take what works for you, ignore the rest. If you're after individual financial advice, a financial advisor is always the best bet.